Let us agree in prayer as saints. Thank you, Father, for that spirit that you've so richly given unto us by your redemption. Thank you, Father, for the resurrection power. We ask and receive this morning that as we go into the word of truth, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of your glory. Our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold all that you've made us to become in Christ. Our eyes of understanding is enlightened to see ourselves better just like the way you see us, or just as you see us in Christ. We declare that after, at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified. Christ alone is glorified. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion in our hearts. Truth of God's word is taught in simplicity and with clarity. And at the end of this meeting, Christ and Him alone is glorified. Glory to God. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. This morning we would continue under the broad umbrella that we have been under for a few weeks now. You know, since the beginning of March, we've been studying. We've been having a broad topic, which is investigating scriptures. So turn your Bibles with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 45. You know, I trust we should be there by now. See what it says. It says, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him. So the him there that is being said, that something is being said to, is who? Nathanael. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him. What did he say unto him? We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. I'll say that again. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about, or did write. Who is that he that Moses in the law and the prophets wrote about? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Yeah. Philip says, we have found him of whom. That means, now, did Moses write anything? Did Moses write down things? Yes, he did. Did the prophets write down things? Yes, they did. Did they write about a person? Yes, they did write about a person. They wrote about a person. Who was that person they wrote about? What did Philip say? He says, and he said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Who is that he? You know, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So, you know, under the broad umbrella of investigating scriptures, we'll be looking at some sensitive key points to hold on to. I think for now, we will suspend the Sacred Cow's teachings and focus on how to just interpret Bible in its simple form, you know, in the simplest form. We can title it Interpreting Scriptures 101, you know, or Investigating Scriptures 101, yeah? So we're trying to investigate and see through scriptures things that were said that people could literally say they have seen or written down, you know, but might have implied, you know, so many other things, you know. So Philip says something. He said, what you call, now, you see that when he says Moses in the law and the prophets, you know, that can be summarized as the scriptures. You can call that the scriptures. Yeah. So Moses in the law and the prophets. So we can read John chapter 1, verse 45, as Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto Nathanael, we have found him of whom was written about in the scriptures. We have found him of whom, or we have found him who the scriptures spoke about. Yeah, we have found him who the scriptures spoke about. You know, so the scripture has a speaking. The prophets and Moses, yeah, inclusive of the prophets, yeah, they spoke about a somebody. They spoke about a somebody. Take that as correct. They spoke about a person. They spoke about a person. Who was that person they spoke about? They spoke about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So it means that when we carefully go back to read a proper read, now it will mean that a proper read of Genesis to Malachi would see somebody that is being spoken about. Hallelujah. It means that when we go and visit Genesis, Exodus, Nehemiah, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Numbers, Isaiah, there is a person that is being spoken about. What did Philip say? He says, we found that person of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about. Who is that person? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Who is that person? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who is that person? God himself. Hallelujah. You know, okay, turn your Bibles with me to the previous book. Remember, you're in John. So go to Luke 24. Go to Luke chapter 24. Look at Luke 24, verses 24. Luke 24, verse 24. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Now, verse 25, then he said, who is the he? The he there will be Jesus. If you try tracing the conversation from verse 1, you realize that the he that said unto them is Jesus. You know, in John 1:45, the he that said unto the him is Philip, saying unto Nathanael. But the he here in Luke 24 is Jesus, saying unto them. Who are the them? The them are those that were in their unbelief. Yeah, there were those that were in their unbelief. Now, look at verse 23. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said he is alive. You know, look at verse 25 again. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. What did the prophet speak? Remember, John 1:45 says what? Philip told Nathanael, we have found him, or we have found him of whom Moses and the prophet spoke about. What did Jesus himself, who was the him in John 1:45? The him is Jesus Christ. Yeah, the him is Jesus Christ. Now, the same Jesus Christ in Luke 24, what does he say? Then he said unto them, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. What did the prophet speak? They said something about a him. They said something about a somebody. They said something about a person. What did they say about the person? They said, verse 26, so ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What does that mean? It means that Moses said this thing. Isaiah said the same thing. Isaiah said the same thing. Ezekiel said the same thing. You know, Habakkuk said the same thing. Nahum said the same thing. Ezekiel said the same thing. You know, so the prophets in time past, they said the same thing. David said the same thing. What was that thing that they all said that was consistent? You see, they were not saying different things. So they were saying the same thing in different ways. They were saying the same thing in parts and portions. In fact, okay, go to Hebrews chapter 1. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Remember, we're coming from John 1:45. We've gone to Luke 24. Yeah, we're coming back to Luke 24, verse 25. Before we continue there, go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. You know, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Yeah, God had in this last day spoken unto us in his Son. Now, were the fathers spoken to? Yes. They were spoken to by who? The prophet. Who is the prophet? A prophet is that man that speaks on behalf of God. Or let me say it this way. A prophet is that man that speaks to the people the heart of God. Or let me say it this way. A prophet is that man that speaks to the heart of men what God would have them hear or what God would want to say to them. So, prophet is the man. So, a prophet can have a saying of God and interpret in a different and diverse way. You know, if you remember our teaching during concerning spirituals, you remember our teaching on tongues and interpretation. You see, tongues and interpretation is not about you hearing someone say something in the language that people can understand and you just say it, just, you know, it's not like a call and response. You know, tongues and interpretation is simply about what? Having a discerning or having an impression in your heart. Remember, communication in the spirit is in impression. So it's about having an impression in your heart. But the truth is that the extent and degree of your vocabulary helps in administrating that tongue. Yeah, or rather, I would say administrating that interpretation. What do I mean? It means that when you speak in tongues, yeah, when you are interpreting that tongues, the communication of that interpretation to the hearts of men that are listening is dependent on the man. Yeah, so that man, we can call him the prophet. I'll say it again. Yeah, when you are interpreting tongues, your tongues and interpretation. Yeah, so for instance, you can have a tongue that just wants to say to someone, go from point A to point B. But the vocabulary or the extent or the degree at which a man has allowed the word of God to dwell in him will determine how, as a prophet, he communicates that impression, which is summarily saying, go from point A rather to point B. Are we together? Yeah, so the same way, so a prophet is so. When you read Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. So, what determines the prophet determined to a great extent what they communicated. I'll say it this way, no. The prophets determined to a great extent how they communicated what God would have them say. The prophets at sundry times, yes, spoke to the fathers in diverse manners, so parts and portions. They spoke, but now God has given his full expression, yeah, in the work of his Son. In the work of his Son, you see, he now says, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Yeah, so when he says, whom he had appointed heir of all things, it is that he is the fulfiller of the things that the prophet spoke in diverse manners and in time past. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the several things that the prophet and Moses spoke. So how did John say it? John 1:45 says what? Philip said unto Nathanael, we have found him of whom? Yeah, we have found. So a good way to read John 1:45 will be, Philip said unto Nathanael, we have found him of whom? Moses, the prophet, that is the prophet said unto the fathers. Who did the prophet speak about to the fathers? It was that Jesus Christ. So what the Hebrews 1:2 tell us? He says that God hath in this last day spoken unto us in that Son. So in as much as the prophet said it in diverse manners and in parts and portions, God has now expressed everything he has wanted to say in the work of Christ. When he now says, whom he had appointed, Hebrews 1:2, whom he had appointed the heir of all things, it will mean what? He is the fulfiller. He is the one that inherited the prophecies that were spoken at diverse times and in diverse manners. At several sundry times and in diverse manners. So Jesus is that heir of all the things. So a good way to read Hebrews 1:2 would be, God hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all the things that Moses and the prophet had spoken about in sundry times and in diverse manners. All I did was just to mix verse 1 of Hebrews, yeah? It will be difficult to get confused if you are really following and opening your Bible to read what we are reading. Yeah, so don't just assume you know the scripture. Yeah? So it will be good to go to this scripture and open it and see what we're saying. Yeah, so I'll say that again. Hebrews 1:2 had in this last day, that is, God had in these last days spoken unto us in his Son by the work of his Son. So, you know, in God's scholars, we like to rewrite our translation. So we can rewrite Hebrews 1:2 as, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by the work of his Son, which or whom he had appointed to be heir of all the things that the prophet said to the fathers at sundry times and in diverse manners. So he is the fulfiller of everything or the things that the prophet spoke about. So God has had one way of communicating from time, but the prophets communicated at sundry times and in diverse manners. Yeah, so go back to Luke 24. Go back to Luke 24. Go back to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. Glory to God. Look at what Luke 24 says. Look at Luke 24. Jesus said to them in verse 25. What did Jesus say to them? He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. What did the prophet speak? They spoke, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? Now, you see, if you look through scriptures from Genesis to Malachi, you would not find the word Christ. Yeah, but they all spoke about Christ. Oh, great. That's very interesting. You see, that is why it takes labor to act. In fact, go to 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look at what it says there. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Yeah, you know, we've done some corrections to that. It says, do not be eager, as in strive, to show thyself as approved of God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean? It means that when you read scriptures, you should be able to rightly divide what scripture says. Yeah, so did the prophet speak about Christ? Yes. Did you see it written as Christ? No. Did the prophet speak about the sufferings of Christ? Yes. Did you see it as Christ? No. What could you have seen? The Lamb. What could you have seen? Blood on the doorpost. Did you see Christ? Yes, you should see Christ as a believer. Why? Because you are not of them whom you see. Okay, now, so look at it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, so if you are careful enough to observe, you will see that there are things that the prophet had spoken about. Now we have seen the revelation of those things, but we are to study. Yeah, we are in the post-resurrection season. They spoke about the death and resurrection of a person. Now we are in the future of that death and resurrection. Yeah, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Look at it. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Look at verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Don't end there. Look at verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, yet I have not seen nor heard, neither has he entered into the hearts of men, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Yeah. So look at verse 10. Don't stop in verse 9. Look at verse 10. But God, there's some buts that are very beautiful. Yeah. Look at it. But in as much as verse 9 says, but as it is written, don't end at that but. Go to the next but. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Yeah, remember, I had not seen, ear has not heard. He's not talking about your car. You don't get a job and say, the job I have is, I had not seen. No. I had not seen or speaking about something. Now, that thing that I had not seen, that Isaiah spoke about, what did Paul now say? But God had revealed. God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of this world. Now, so, because the Spirit is in us, now because the Spirit has made available, those things that I could not see, now eyes can see, ears can hear. God has revealed. God has revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. Yeah, go back to 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved. Yeah, we are now to labor. We are now to labor. We are now to labor. It says, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Glory to God. You see, what Jesus did with scriptures, go back to Luke 24. Yeah, remember we're coming from somewhere, we're going somewhere. Go back to Luke 24. Look at Luke 24 verse 26. Luke 24 verse 26. See, what Jesus did was what Paul told Timothy to do. So, Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself as approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What did Jesus do in Luke 24:26? He says, look at 25 again. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet hath spoken. What did the prophet speak? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? What did Jesus now do? Jesus in verse 27 now studied to show himself as approved of God. Glory to God. Yeah, or we can say Jesus, having studied to show himself as approved of God, now explained. Remember our last teaching? We saw that 2 Timothy 2:15 says study. The same Paul narrowed to the Timothy in the next two chapters, chapter 4. He says, preach the truth of God's word in the instant, in season, and out of season. So there's a studying before a preaching. So, Jesus, what did he now do? In verse 27, and beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He expounded unto them the things concerning the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So what did he do? He labored to show them. Yeah, how many days did this laboring take? Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 2. The book of Acts chapter 1, verses 2. Acts chapter 1, verses 2. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 2. What does it say? It says, until this day, until the day in which he was taken up, after that through... that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Look at verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days. What was he doing for 40 days? He was speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. So, what you might have seen in Luke 24, ought not Christ to suffer these things, and beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself, is what you can see in Acts 1:3. What did he say? For 40 days he was speaking concerning the things pertaining the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It is about his resurrection. Yeah, it is his resurrection. We have now partaken of that kingdom of God. We are now members of that kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So there is such a thing as laboring. There is such a thing as finding in the scriptures the things that the prophet or the person the prophet spoke about. So it means that you as a sister, wherever you are listening, you can call that brother or call that fellow sister and say, sister, come and see Genesis chapter 1. This is who Moses was speaking about. Yeah, so when you go back to Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you know, and God said, let it be light, and there was light, you know, and the earth could not comprehend. You know, when you're thinking about it, you should look at that in the light of Christ. How is he explained in now the post-resurrection reality? Yeah, so we're looking at the basics of how to study scriptures. How do we go through scriptures? What do we do? How do we go through scriptures? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 27. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8, verses 27. 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 Acts 8, 27. Look at Acts 8, 27. And he arose and went. And behold, who is the he that arose? Go back to verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Look at verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority. And he arose. Look at verse 27 again. And he arose and he went. Who is the he that arose? The he that arose was spoken about in verse 26, which is the he that the angel spoke about. Who is that he? The he is Philip. Yeah, can you see? And he arose. Look at it. Think about it. Now, remember, who told Nathanael in John 1:45 that we have seen whom the prophet and Moses spoke about? If you are following, you will remember that is Philip, John 1:45. Now, that same Philip, yeah, if we are not mistaken, that same Philip, and the angel spoke to that same Philip. Yeah, now think about it. It will mean that Philip definitely or possibly would have been amongst or been present in the 40 days teaching that Jesus did, that Acts 1:3 spoke about. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God for 40 days. It will mean that Philip, Peter, they were most likely in that meeting. Look at what happens now. Look at it. You see, it is from your place of study that you are to preach from. You see, remember that teaching, a believer is to study, then preach from his study. A believer is not to preach or preach while study or study while preaching or study to preach. It is out of your wealth of study that you preach. Yeah, so look at it. So Philip would have handled that post-resurrection seminar. Yeah, you know, so imagine if Jesus had a signboard or a poster, yeah, for that 40 days teaching. Yeah, he could have sent Peter to print a flyer, and the flyer would say, post-resurrection seminar, host, Jesus is Lord, yeah, you know. So now, that same Philip that was in that meeting is in Acts 8:27. What did he say? And what did Luke say in Acts 8:27? Philip arose and went, and behold, what did Philip see? A man of Ethiopia, and eunuch of great authority under Chandace, queen of Ethiopians. Yeah, so he was of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. Now, who had the charge of all our treasures? So that means he was in charge of the treasure. That means he was most likely going to be wealthy. Yeah, you know how it is that you will most likely want to pay the man that is in charge of your wealth. Yeah, you will want to pay him well so that there's no tendency for him to, you know. So, and he came to Jerusalem to worship. Look at verse 28. He was returning. Who is the he now that was returning? It will be the eunuch of great authority under the chandeliers of Ethiopian queen. He was returning to where? Remember, verse 27 says he came to Jerusalem to worship. Where is he returning back to now? He's returning back to Ethiopia. He was returning and he was sitting in his chariot. He read what? He read the prophet Isaiah. So what would that mean? Imagine him, that means he had scriptures with him, and the portion of scriptures he was reading was that portion of Isaiah the prophet. Yeah, what you see Isaiah as is Isaiah the prophet. He was speaking about Isaiah the prophet. Now hold your thoughts in Acts chapter 8, verse 28, and let's go to Isaiah 53. Remember I said let's go, not let's run. Yeah, let's go to Isaiah 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Remember, your hands should be in Acts 8. Yeah, go with me to Isaiah 53, verse 7. Remember, John 1:45 says, Philip said, we have found him who the prophet spoke about. Those prophets would include Isaiah. Jesus came and said, O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophet has spoken about. The prophets that spoke would include Isaiah. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says the prophet at sundry times spoke to the fathers in diverse manners, that the different parts and portions. Those prophets would include Isaiah. So it will mean that when you go back to read Isaiah chapter 53, you should have somebody in mind already. Who is that person? The person you should have in mind is the same person that Philip told Nathanael, see whom the prophet spoke about. The exact person that Philip told Nathanael, see whom the prophet spoke about, should be the person you should have in mind. So when you go to Isaiah 53, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Look at verse, okay. Look at it. Remember, your forefront should have a knowledge of Christ our Savior. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 1. What is Isaiah saying? Remember, you must have read Isaiah chapter 1, oh glory to God, before you get to Isaiah chapter 53. Yeah, so when Isaiah spoke in diverse ways, oh, the government shall be upon his shoulder, oh, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. All Isaiah was saying was coming to verse chapter 53. What was he really trying to pass across? What was Isaiah really saying? What did he say in verse 1? Who hath believed our reports? So, what was Isaiah writing for people to do? Isaiah was writing as a prophet for people to believe what he is saying. Glory to God. Or rather, Isaiah was writing as a prophet for people to believe the person he is speaking about. So, he says, who had believed our reports? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Look at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. Can you see? So when you see he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, he is speaking about a he. Yeah? And as a root out of a dry ground. He's not speaking about you, that anywhere you go, you will flourish. No, people of God, it's not about you. It is not about you. There is no promise in the Bible that says a believer, anywhere the believer goes, you promise. No. Okay, now, so look at it. So when it says, as a root out of a dry ground. Don't think about yourself. Think about the Philip. Think about the person Philip spoke to Nathaniel about. So look at it. He had no form nor comeliness. Remember, Philippians chapter 2 will show us that he being in the form of God. Yeah, okay. Run with me this time around. Yeah, remember, we are in Acts 8. We have opened to Isaiah 53. Now run with me quickly to Philippians 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2 verse 7. Look at Philippians 2 verse 6. Philippians chapter 2 verse 6. Look at verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, or which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the mind? Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Yeah, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Can you see what the Isaiah say? Who had no form nor comeliness. Look at it. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore now God had highly exalted him and had given him a name which is above every other name. Now, because of his resurrection, he is exalted. Can you see? Look at it. He made himself of no reputation. What did Isaiah 53 say? No form nor comeliness. He took upon himself the form of the servant. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 53. Look at Isaiah 53. Look at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Yeah. And as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. What did Philippians 2 tell us? He took upon himself the form of a servant. You see, that form of a servant is like having no reputation at all. Look at it. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh dear saints, don't say that because you are suffering, the Isaiah 53 is your favorite verse. When it says there is no beauty that we should desire him, what does that mean? It means that in the sufferings of Christ, you will look at him and not see anything to desire of him. Hallelujah. He's not saying that because you are suffering, people don't want you. No. Read the Bible as it ought to be read. What if John 1:45 says? It says, Philip told Nathaniel. So it's possible that Philip could have told Nathaniel, Oga, come, that person that Isaiah 53 spoke about, look at him, is actually Christ. So what did Isaiah say? He says, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. No, that is not about you. The believers are despised and also rejected. The unbelievers are also despised and also rejected. See, there is nothing like because I'm in Christ, I will never be despised and be rejected. Even the Christ that made you to be in him was despised and rejected. There's nothing like because... Okay. So, he is despised and rejected of men. Was Jesus despised and rejected? Yes. Look at it. A man of sorrow. Was he a man of sorrows? Yes. And acquainted with grief. Was he acquainted with grief? Yes. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Why did we hide that? Did men hide their faces from him? Why? Because verse 2 says there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3 says he is despised and rejected of men. So we hide and do not associate with him. Look at it again. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Glory to God. Was he despised? Yes. The people despised him? Yes. Look at verse 3, verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs. That grief that he says in verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. That grief he now explains in verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs and he had carried away our sorrow. What did he say next? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In the real sense, who actually smit Jesus? It was actually not God, but men. Go to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Or Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 4 verse 11. Look at Acts 4, verse 10. Look at Acts 4, verse 8. Let's start from verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man. Remember, Isaiah told us what? He was an impotent man. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, Isaiah told us that he was despised. What did Acts 4, verse 9? You see, when it says impotent, don't read a scripture in context, please. Yeah, when you say impotent, don't go to where your mind is going to. Yeah, go to where the scripture's mind is taking you to. Amen. Yeah, so when it says that, because people can be interesting. Yeah, so if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, read in context, by what means he is made whole. Look at verse 10. Be it known unto you and to the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead. What did Peter say? Peter said, they crucified, God raised him. It will mean that we can go back and correct Isaiah's prophecy that was given to mankind in parts and portions. What did he say? He says, whom ye crucified, whom ye crucified, whom ye crucified, whom ye crucified. Whom ye crucified. In fact, go back to Acts 2. Two chapters before then. Acts chapter 2 verse 22. Acts chapter 2 verse 22. Acts chapter 2 verse 22. Look at it there. It says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. Look at verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain. Remember, Acts 4:11. Ye crucified, men smite Jesus. Yeah? So, yes, was there a smiting? Yes. Was it God that did that? No. Who did that? Jesus was smitten and was beaten by men. So, Acts 2 verse 23, he says, so what did God do? God delivered himself. And what did God do again? Look at verse 24. God had raised up. So, in the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, what was God's responsibility? God offered himself as Jesus. God offered himself as a sacrifice to be killed by men. And in that offering, after that offering, men killed him. And after that, he resurrected. That is God's mighty power. That's God's ability. Yeah. So when you say God, what is your almightiness? Is in the fact that God rose him up. Men could not. You see, that was the truth of God's word that the apostles were teaching, that a lot of them were killed and were martyred. We came to Acts 2 to show that it was men that killed Jesus, not God. Go back to Isaiah 53. Remember, we're explaining Isaiah 53. Actually, we're explaining Acts 8 via Isaiah 53. So go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, glory to God. Isaiah 53. Look at 53 again. Surely, verse 4, surely he had borne our griefs and he had carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Was it God that smit him? No. Was it God that afflicted him? No. Who afflicted him? Men did. Acts 4:11. Acts 2 that we just read. Look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. Was it God that wounded him? No. It was men that wounded him. Look at it. He was wounded for our trespasses, our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Look at it. If in verse 5 he speaks about the iniquities, he speaks about transgression, why do we add we are healed as physical? No, the we are healed cannot be physical. It is not physical. Isaiah did not speak about physical healing. Look at it again. Look at it. It says, but he was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Remember, Romans to show us that what? Now we are be justified by faith. We have peace with God. So now, look at it. He was wounded for our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. What is the stripes we are healed? Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is the healing that his stripes gave us? Okay, go to 1 Peter. Go with me to 1 Peter. You know, don't hear what you shouldn't hear from this teaching. Yeah, the believer is full of power enough for him to heal any form of sicknesses. Yeah, the believer is full of power to heal every form of sicknesses. But what Christ came for was for our iniquities and our transgressions. Yeah, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 2 rather. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22. 1 Peter 2, verse 22. Look at it. Look at 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Look at verse 23. Who did no sin, neither was guile rather found in his mouth. Look at verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Look at verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Did Jesus bear our sins? Yes. Where did he bear it? On his body on the tree. What did Isaiah 53 says? Say, by his wounds. He says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. What did 1 Peter 2 says? He says, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. What is the stripes that we are healed? What is the healing? The healing is that we that were being dead to sins, we are now alive unto righteousness. That is by his stripes we are healed. Yeah, do people use by his stripes we are healed to heal people? Yes. Does it mean it is correct? No. Does that mean that that's what scripture meant? No. Remember, results and the fact that a practice has been done over time doesn't validate the authenticity of that thing. Yeah, that a lot, you see, in Christianity and in doctrine, majority doesn't always carry the vote. Yeah, we don't stick to a biblical doctrine because it's what most people say. Look at it again. So look at verse 24. Who his own self bare his our sins in his own body. Now that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. What is the healing? We were dead, we are now living in righteousness. What did he explain it again to be? For ye were as sheep going astray, but we are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. That is the healing we have. That is the healing. So the eternal healing that Christ came to give is the healing from a sickness. What sickness is that? The sickness of transgression, the sickness of iniquities. By this healing, we can heal every other type of sicknesses. Yeah, but the healing he came to offer is the healing of what? Eternal sickness. We being dead, he has healed us. Now we are alive in righteousness. Go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53, remember we're explaining Acts 8. Yeah, so Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He didn't say with his stripes we are healed and we have good health, or we are healed from even if he had mentioned sicknesses, you know, the sicknesses will be what? In reference to what? Iniquities. Yeah, I think we've done a couple of studies on that. Yeah, so you can always listen to that. So when it says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of his peace, of our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Look at verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have now turned every one of his way. What did 1 Peter 2 say? As sheep that have gone astray, we have now returned back to the bishop and shepherd of our souls. What did Isaiah really say? So it will mean that 1 Peter was really quoting Isaiah 53. So all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you see the consistency of what is being mentioned is iniquity, transgression, sin. So healing, we have to be in the context of iniquity, transgression, sin. You see, he didn't say, for all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one of his own way, and the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all, and our sicknesses, including malaria and What was laid upon Christ is the sickness of sin. Yeah, what he was wounded for our transgression for is about sin. So don't just pick that word, oh, by stripes we are healed. That's not what Isaiah spoke about. The healing Isaiah spoke about is the sickness of the heart. As sheep that have gone astray, we have now returned back to the bishop and shepherd of our soul. Yeah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have now returned. Look at it. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, not the iniquity and the sicknesses. So even if you say, for the Lord has laid upon him the sicknesses of us all, the sickness there will be the iniquity. So remember, a word will only make sense in the context in which it is used. Isaiah didn't speak about physical healing. Yeah, Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 53, he was speaking about a spiritual sickness that required healing. So the context of healing has to be in fact, hold your hands in and go to James 5. Remember, we're explaining Acts chapter 8 through the lens of Isaiah 53. What did the prophet say, Isaiah? James chapter 5, verse 16. Remember, we're dealing with investigating scriptures. Yeah, we're investigating scriptures. Yeah. So look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your fault one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. This healing here, is it healing of the physical body? Think about it. If it is that, it is when you confess your fault to somebody else, that's when you are healed. So think about it. Imagine you have malaria. You now go to Sister Esther and now go and confess Sister Esther. And you now say, this is my fault. And you now go and you now say, you're healed. The healing in verse 16 has to be in context. That was not speaking about physical healing. So when James will say, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. What healing is that? It's not speaking about malaria. It's not speaking about cancer. The healing there is the healing of strained relationship. It's the healing of, you know what you call strife or rifts. Look at a previous verses before there speaks about healing. Healing. Look at James 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. This saving of the sick, which is healing, is it the same as the healed in verse 16? It cannot be. The verse 14 speaks about sick among you. Let him call for the elders to pray, anointing him with oil. It's not saying that there's something special about anointing oil. The truth is that oil was used as medicine in those days. It is in our day and time now that we've seen that medicine has appreciated and increased over time. We have diverse kinds of drugs, but oil in that verse is used as medicine. Yeah, so it's interesting when people say, So when it says confess your fault in verse 16, one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. What healing is that? It's the healing of strained relationship among saints. What does that mean? If I'm offended by you and we have a conversation, now I might be offended by you, and because of that, I will start withdrawing away from you. That withdrawal away from you is the sickness that James is talking about in verse 16 of chapter 5. So, but when we have a conversation about it, that sickness of me drawing away from you has now been healed. Why? Because we are now together. Go back to Isaiah 53. Remember, we are explaining Acts chapter 8, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Go back with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Look at Isaiah 53. Look at it. Look at Isaiah 53. So when it says, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That means the iniquity of mankind was laid on Christ. Hallelujah. So what is the by his stripes we are healed? It is that by the crucifixion and resurrection, the believer has forgiveness of sin. What was the sin before? The sin was sickness. What is the healing? It is that your sins have been forgiven. So by his stripes I am healed. Lift your hands wherever you are and say, by his stripes I am healed. That healing that the stripes has provided is an eternal healing. It is not temporary. It is not permanent. See, it has to be consistent. Whatever Jesus came to provide by the resurrection and crucifixion, they are all eternal things. They are eternal realities. They are eternal realities. So the forgiveness of sin is the healing that we have by the stripes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands wherever you are again and say, by his stripes I have been healed. I am healed. I am healed. Why? Because as a sheep that I've gone astray, I have now returned back to the bishop and shepherd of my soul, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to God. So the Lord has laid, verse 6, chapter 53, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Look at verse 7. Now, in fact, before you go to verse 7, run back to Acts 8. Now, this time around, it's run. Yeah? Run back with me to Acts chapter 8. Run back with me to Acts chapter 8, verse 27. Acts 8, verse 27. Acts 8, verse 27. Acts chapter 8, verse 27. And he arose and went. Remember, we've established that. Who is the he that arose and went? Philip. Look at verse 28. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. Who is the he that was returning and sitting in his chariot? The Ethiopian eunuch. Look at verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. Who did Philip run unto? He ran unto the Ethiopian eunuch. And he heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And Philip now said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? Philip said, you are reading prophet Isaiah. Do you have to understand what you are reading? Remember, Philip had already known before time that what Isaiah could possibly be speaking about was about a him. Look at the intelligent question, verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Yeah, you see, Paul will tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, commit the same things which thou hast learned of me to faithful men who will teach others. Remember, we learn doctrine by learning from men. We learn doctrine by submitting ourselves to discipleship under men. Yeah, so remember, so a good disciple is that one who submits himself to training. A good disciple is that one who doesn't remove his thinking cap when he submits himself to training. A good disciple is that man that submits himself to the apostolic doctrine that is taught to him by his leader. So look at Acts 8. Look at Acts 8 again. Look at Acts 8 again. Look at Acts 8 again. The place of scriptures which he read. Look at verse 32. The place of scriptures which he read, who is the he that read, was this. The he that read was the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember, look at verse 30. It says that Philip ran unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. What portion of Isaiah did he read? Yeah, if they were divided in chapters and verses, you will say Isaiah 53. Look at what it says. Verse 32, the place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb, he was dumb before his shearer. So open he not his mouth. Oh, glory to God. That's the wisdom of God in operation. Yeah? He was led as a sheep. You see, mankind would have thought that God will come and come as a monster, as a giant. Or like people would say, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But no, he came as a sheep. There was no prophecy about Jesus coming as a lion or a buffalo. Prophecies about him was about he is the lamb. John 1:39. What did he say? He says, behold, the lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Not behold the lamb and the lion. He is the lamb of God. Yeah. Now, it is in that being a lamb that we see the wisdom of God manifested. Why? Because in the wisdom of men, they would have thought that the Almighty God will come as a big monster or a lion. But he came as a lamb. Look at it. Look at it. It says, verse 32, Acts 8, 32. The place of the scriptures which the Ethiopian eunuch read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like the lamb, it was dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. People of God, read that again. So opened he not his mouth. So opened he not his mouth. Look at verse 30. 33, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Is that not Christ? Look at what 34. Remember we jumped verse 31. Go back to verse 31. Acts 8, 31. And he said, how can I? Now, what was he answering? Philip asked in verse 30, do you understand what you read? Understandest thou what thou readest? I love KJV. Yeah. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered and said unto him, except some man should guide me. Yeah, that's what took us to 2 Timothy 2. Yeah. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he's like, how will I understand it? Except somebody guides me. Look at verse 34. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered Jesus and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Look at it. The Ethiopian eunuch now asked a very intelligent question. What did he say? Please, when he said, I pray thee, he's not saying I'm praying to thee. Yeah? Remember, a word will make sense in the context. He now said, okay, Ethiopian eunuch is asking Mr. Philip. What is he saying? He now says, of whom speaketh the prophet? Was the prophet speaking of himself or of some other man? Go back to Isaiah 53. Remember, we're in Acts 8, verse 35. Go back to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, verse 7. Oh, glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory, 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 glory to the Lamb. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Is that the same thing we read in Acts 8? Yeah, if you are following, you should see that. Acts chapter 8, verse 28, there was, shows us this same scripture. Yeah, so look at it. He says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. As what? Verse 6, Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Look at verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Who is the he? Now, the he is that Lord and Savior that Philip told Nathanael. See, we have spoken about the he that prophet Isaiah spoke about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 7 again. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearer is dumb. What does that mean? A sheep goes in front of the man that is about to crucify him, yet he opens not his mouth. Look at verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Is that the same thing we read? Yes. For he was cut off out of the land of the living. What does that mean? He was killed. What did he ask for? Tell us, verse 11. He says that ye crucified, men crucified him. What did Acts 2, 20 something tell us? He says that God delivered himself and he was crucified by men. What did Isaiah 53, verse 8 tell us? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Oh my glorious God. By his stripes we are healed. What is the healing? We that were sick. What is the sickness? We that were dead in our sins, we are now alive unto righteousness. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, we are alive unto righteousness. We are alive unto righteousness. Why? Because upon his shoulder, he took our transgressions, he took our sicknesses, he took our sin, he took our iniquities, he took our iniquities. Now we have an eternal redemption. We are declared righteous forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Look at verses 9. Isaiah 53, verses 9. And he made his grave with the wicked. Oh, glory to God. My Lord and Savior made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. What did First Peter tell us? There was no guile in his mouth. Oh, glory, 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 glory to God. Look at Isaiah 53, verses 10. So he says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now remember, we've seen that God did not bruise him. Rather, God supplied himself to be bruised. Oh, God submitted himself to be bruised by men. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, verses 11. So, what can you see? We can correct the prophet, because the prophet spoke in diverse manners and in different portions. So, what Isaiah said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. We see in the New Testament that what God was responsible in the crucifixion and resurrection is that God submitted himself to be bruised, men bruised him, and God rose him up. So, when it says Isaiah 53 verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he had put him to grief. It is that men put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Can you see? What did God do? God offered himself as the offering for sins to the minds of men. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Glory to God. So, this was the exact portion that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Acts 8. Now, let's go back to the real Acts 8 we are trying to explain. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. That's where we are trying to explain, right? Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 35. Remember, John chapter 1, 45 says, Philip said unto Nathanael, behold, the man whom Moses and the prophet, including Isaiah, spoke about. All glory to God. Now, Philip knew better in Acts chapter 8, definitely, to know. That means that, look at it. That means there's a tendency that Philip, before Christ's incarnation and resurrection, or rather, before Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, he might have read Isaiah 53, but might not have known what Isaiah 53 spoke about. Yeah, remember, might. Look at verse 34 of Acts chapter 8. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, I ask thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who was prophet Isaiah speaking about? Was Isaiah speaking about himself or some other man? Look at verse 35. Philip opened his mouth. Look at it though. When he says Philip opened his mouth, it not say that Philip did. Philip opened his mouth. What will opened his mouth mean? It will mean he began to explain. Look at this. So when it says, then Philip opened his mouth, that is, he began to explain the same scripture. What did he explain? He preached unto him Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Glory to God. So the Ethiopian eunuch read Isaiah chapter 53. Yes, Isaiah 53 spoke about a he. The Ethiopian eunuch thought, was Isaiah speaking about himself? Isaiah spoke about what? A him. That hymn is the same hymn that Habakkuk, go back to Habakkuk 2. Remember that teaching, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2. Glory to God. Let's read together wherever you are. Turn your Bibles with me to Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2. Let us read together. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Verses 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and will not tarry. Hallelujah. Remember, we used Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, to explain that. Go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Yeah. So Habakkuk 2 verse 3 says, oh, but at the end it shall speak, though it may tarry, Habakkuk says, though it may tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. What did Hebrews chapter 10 verse 37 say? Hebrews 10 verse 37, he says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. So Hebrews chapter 10 verse 37 replaced and the it with a he. Go back to Habakkuk chapter 2 rather, verse 3. I hope we are all there. Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 3. Habakkuk 2 verse 3, look at what it says. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. What did Hebrew tell us the vision is about? Is about a him. In fact, hold your thoughts in verse 3 and go to verse 4. Look at it. He says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. His faith. Hallelujah. Yeah, the just shall live by his faith, not its faith. So Habakkuk 2 verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak and not lie. Though he may tarry, wait for him, because he will surely come, he will not tarry. So Habakkuk was speaking. Remember, we corrected Isaiah 53 verse 10 when he says the Lord bruised Jesus. It was men that bruised Jesus. So Habakkuk says the vision will come, wait for it. What do? We correct it. Habakkuk spoke, remember, John 1:45. Philip spoke unto Nathanael, saying, behold, the man that Moses in the law and the prophets, including Habakkuk, spoke about. So, though he may tarry, wait for him, because he will surely come. Yeah, he's not speaking about your car or your house. Yeah, he's not saying, don't worry, keep the faith. In as much as you should keep the faith and keep being optimistic, as Habakkuk 2 is not for you. He's not saying, keep the faith. I might lose my job, but though the new job might tarry, wait for it. It is about a him. That's why it says, but the just shall live by his faith. Look at it. Go to verse 14. Look at verse 14. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Look at what it says. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. Not the glory of it. Not the glory of its vision. It is about the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of thy hymn. So, see this. I'm going to join Habakkuk 2:3 and immediately read verse 14 and read it together as a single verse. So let's read it with all corrections made. For Habakkuk 2 verse 3, let's read together Habakkuk 2 verses 3, then we'll read verse 14 as a singular verse with all corrections made. Yeah, so for the vision is yet for an appointed time. That means the vision that is to come is for a time. Let's read together Habakkuk 2 verses 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak and not lie. What is the he that shall speak? Though he tarries, wait for him, because he will surely come. He will not tarry. Verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the him, as the water covers the sea. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to Acts 8. Let's round up in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at Isaiah 53 and explained Jesus to him. Oh, glory to God. Let's end here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. You know, we are ending where we thought we would have started. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15. And that from a child, Paul is telling Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That means the scriptures have a wisdom to make thee wise, or the scripture gives a wisdom, and this wisdom is in reference to salvation. This scripture is given, now remember, it says, so you can read verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, into bracket Isaiah, Habakkuk, Genesis, Exodus, Job, Psalms. Yeah, so he says, and all scriptures, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. So when you put bracket Habakkuk, Isaiah, these scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You know, it's important to know something. The theme of scriptures is salvation. You know, I say it over and over again. Yeah, it doesn't mean that everything in the Bible is speaking about Christ. Yeah, yeah, it's a very interesting thing. You know, some people just say, oh, the Bible is Christocentric. Everything, they bring out Christ. You know, he that finds a wife, finds a good wife, wife and the church, brother, calm down, people of God, calm down. Mm? Eh? So, you know, people say that five stones, when you pick five stones, you use five stones, David picked five stones. Five stones mean Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, and Jesus means grace, G-R-A-C-E, five letters, J. Yeah, but you forget to realize that David, how many stones did he use to kill Goliath? He used only J, I be G. Glory to God. Because Philip knew that scriptures are to make man wise unto salvation, because he has attended the 40 days post-resurrection seminar, he was able to explain to the Ethiopian eunuch concerning Jesus. Dear saints, trust that God's word has come in simplicity and with clarity. You know, the truth of God's word is something that we need to keep explaining and we keep emphasizing on. You know, one of our watchwords as a church is repetition. We hold repetition in very high esteem. So we trust that you might have had a good time this morning, but it is advisable to keep listening and listening and listening. There's some things you will get better explained having listened to the messages again. Yeah, so take our time to get the teaching as soon as it's available. So lift your hands wherever you are and say, by his stripes I am healed. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, if you are joining us just now, yeah, we know that we are speaking about the forgiveness of sins. Yeah, and in fact, let's you know, you say something, by the powerful power of God that has been demonstrated towards the believer, we have the ability to heal ourselves. So